One. God is good. Amen. Let's thank the Lord one more time, shall we? Good to see you tonight. The Lord bless you. Good to have you with us tonight for our Wednesday evening service. And a lot of things going on. I want to remind everyone that this Sunday, Terry and Nancy Clark will be with us, leading us in worship the first and second service. It's going to be a wonderful time. And don't miss them. They're wonderful people. And Grace Connection Senior Luncheon and Pastor Daryl Marie, they're going to have it this Sunday, also after the second service there in the cafe. And then the Adoption Support Meeting will be this Sunday after the second service as well. And they'll be meeting in the fifth grade classroom, and there's information in the lobby. Or you can contact Neil Grimmer at adoption@loveneverfails.com for more information. Also, you know, a lot of people ask us all the time, you know, Bill, this is we love Calvary Chapel. This is where we want to become a member here or whatever. And we call it basically just, you know, connect and commit. Just welcome aboard. If you're born again and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to Calvary Chapel. And, once a year I'll try to teach a welcome to Calvary Chapel or making Calvary Chapel your home. And then I ask you to attend that. But what we ask you to do now in the meantime is you can meet people. I don't know who's going to be doing it, but there'll be people in the little lobby here, not the main lobby, I'm assuming is this lobby. And they have a camera in hand and just a little piece of paper for you to fill out. And they take your picture and you fill out some information. We have it in your computer and we just say, welcome to Calvary Chapel, okay? So it's just about that easy. Also, men's prayer breakfast this Saturday, 8:15, Golden Corral and Denton Highway. And baptisms will be April 22nd, Sunday, after the second service. And you can sign up by going to our website at calvarychapelftw.org on the events page there, or you can call the church office as well. And the marriage fellowship is April 22nd at 5 o'clock as well. Before two things. Number one, I want to thank all the deacons and all the leaders and Pastor Daryl, everybody that worked on Sunday. The Lord bless you, the kids' church people. The kids' church guys, the teachers, you guys did a marvelous, marvelous job. We were absolutely, we were stuffing kids in the closets, okay? I mean, we were just packed, and it was a wonderful, wonderful Sunday, and I just want to take that opportunity to just thank every department and every person. You guys are just always awesome, and I just love you and thank you so much. With all that being said, right before we started our praise and worship, Dave Wiebe left ill. And I knew that he was leaving, but I didn't know that he was sick. He was feeling very faint. So why don't we open the service up by praying for him? Amen? Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for this afternoon that you've given us, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We honor you tonight. We love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And Lord, we want to love one another as well. And Father, tonight we lift up Dave Wiebe to you, Lord, and just touching him, touching his heart, touching every area of his body, strengthening him, Lord, and taking away any malady, affliction, or disease, or what may be harming him tonight. Give him and, or he and Connie, give them peace and safety now. Lord, for all those that are in the hospital, we pray for them, those as well, for continued healing for their bodies. Now, Lord, be with us tonight in such a wonderful way. Just let there be a supernatural peace in our chapel here tonight. Let every heart feel your love and your joy and your grace. Let there just be such a supernatural rest fall upon each and every one of us. Let all fear, every form of fear, let it depart from our homes, our minds, our thoughts, and this place tonight. Fear hath torment, Lord. We don't want any part of it. And let your overcoming strength just envelop us tonight. And Lord, may we do all things pleasing in your sight. If we've sinned by word or deed or thought or action, if we've grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit in any way, if things have come out of our mouth, O Father, that would slander or speak evil against other people, O Lord, we just repent. We look to our Savior now who washed us in his blood. Oh, we love you and thank you now for cleansing us from each and every sin. And may your peace now be ours in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn tonight to back to Genesis, chapter 43, I believe is where we are, as I turn there with you. Genesis chapter 43, We're just about finished with the book of Genesis. Can you believe it? And we're really going to, next time we're together, the Lord willing, you never know what's going to happen, but we'll probably cover maybe three or four chapters the next time. That's never really happened with me, but I like to just speak in faith, okay? And so we can be knocking out the rest of Genesis. But tonight I want to talk to you from Genesis 43 and 44, the final test. Now, this final test has to do with Joseph as he tests his brothers to find out if they're truly who they say they are, and also to find out if they've really repented or not in their hearts because of what they've done. So let's begin tonight in Genesis chapter 43. Remember that there's been the tremendous famine that's in the land, and Jacob has already, you know, sent down his sons into Egypt once. And the last time that they went into Egypt to get food because of the horrible famine, remember Simeon, they left Simeon there in jail. So he's in a sense in prison, and unless they come back and bring Benjamin with them. He said, Joseph said, I want to see your younger brother. And so I'm going to hold Simeon here until you come back again. So with all that in mind, let's look and begin now in chapter 43, verse 1, where it says, now the famine was severe in the land. And may I tell you that there were still 5 years of that horrible famine remaining. So people were literally starving to death. It was horrible. And it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, now go back. In other words, say they've already visited once. He said, now I want you to go back and buy us a little food. But Judah spoke to him saying, the man. Very interesting. That's what they call him throughout this now. They said, the man. The man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you, meaning little Benjamin. And if you send our brother with us, we'll go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. In other words, he was saying, Dad, listen to me. You've got to understand, I know that the food is out. I know that we don't have anything hardly left. But the truth of the matter is, it's not going to do us any good to go down to Egypt again unless we take Benjamin with us. And you know already that he loved Benjamin. Benjamin was Joseph's full brother from Rachel. And he wanted nothing to do with it. It's interesting that, you know, they're talking about this. Now we're out of food, but have they forgotten all about their brother Simeon? You know, Simeon's been out there in jail all this time. How would you like to be Simeon? And you know, so they've forgotten all about him. And so he says, listen, without Benjamin, that man, he's not going to see us. And Israel said, notice that it's not Jacob now, it's Israel. Very interesting. Israel said, why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you still had another brother? In other words, Jacob's all said, why don't you just keep your mouth shut? You know, he says, and they said, listen, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves, about our family, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to these words, could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down? Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me. So he's still a young boy. He's probably 20 years old, maybe a little older than 20. And he said, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. So he says to his father Jacob, he says, we have two choices. We're either going to live or we're now going to starve to death. Which one do you want? And then he says in verse 9, look what Judah said. And you're going to notice that Judah is now the spokesman throughout these two chapters. He says, Judah says, I myself will be surety, the guarantee for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time, meaning return to Egypt. I am so thankful tonight that we have a surety. Amen? I mean assurance in our heart no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what we feel, no matter what we're facing in our life, we have the down payment, the guarantee, the assurance of the Holy Spirit in our hearts at all time. Amen? He is there permanently. We are sealed until the day of redemption. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is the author of all truth. He guides us into all truth. He's your helper, your strengthener, your standby. It is wonderful to know. Let me just stop right there. It is wonderful to do this. It is wonderful to always, as you've heard me say so many times, practice awareness in your life. In other words, always be aware that the Lord is with you, that the Lord sees you, that He knows everything you're doing, every moment, every second, sleeping or working, whatever it might be. He's here. He's here right now. Sometimes I just reach over, and I mean, as silly as that may sound to probably some of you, and it's okay, I am a silly person at times, but I tell you, He's here, and I know He's here. I see Him by the eye of faith, amen? I believe the Word of God. I believe that He's working in you tonight, that He'll always be working in you if you're born from above, and you can be confident that He is working in you. Even though the bad times, the good times, whatever you're facing, He is working in you and He is working for you. Amen? And I'm so thankful that I know that and that you know that. So Judah says, Dad, listen, I'll be His surety. I promise you. I'm giving you my word. And then it says in verse 11, and their father Israel said to him, okay, if it must be so, then do this. Now watch what Jacob says to do. He says, take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man. There he is still, it's the man. It's so funny. He says, a little balm and a little honey and spices and myrrh and pistachio nuts and almonds. In other words, let's sweeten him up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know what's interesting? If you go back and study, I forget what chapter it was. I think it's chapter 37. Do you remember whenever Joseph was sold to he was in the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites and the Midianites. Go back and study what they were carrying as they were on their way down to Egypt. You're going to find out that's what they were carrying with them because they didn't have that kind of stuff in the land of Egypt. So Jacob, he was very smart. He said, they don't have that down in Egypt. Let's take some of the, that's all we have up here. You can't live off pistachio nuts. You know what I'm trying to say? You can't live off honey all the time. You know, and these almonds, you know, and a little bit of myrrh, you might smell good, but you're just starving to death. He says, well, let's sweeten them up. And he says, watch this. Take double the money in your hand. Isn't it funny that you can be in a severe famine and money is worthless, isn't it? Come on, money, see, we put too much value on money. Did you know money's just numbers? Are you crazy, Bill? I think I must be. It's the pollen. You know what I'm saying? Spring is in the air. But it really is just numbers, isn't it? See, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He knows how much money we need. He knows how to take care of each of us. He's not going to let us down. So He says, take double your money in your hand. Take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. And take your brother, this is Benjamin now, take your brother also and arise and go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man. I should have entitled this sermon, The Man. That he may release your older brother and Benjamin. If I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. You know, I love Jacob. I really love him. But you know, there's a lot of things that trouble me, and just like there's a lot of things that trouble us about each other and everything else. And I look at this and, you know, they had no idea, number one, that the man was Joseph. Amen? They didn't know that. In other words, they hadn't a clue. He spoke Egyptian to them. He dressed Egyptian to them. He'd been gone all these years. He was second in command of all the land. And I look at Jacob and I say, Jacob, listen, I know in my heart that you don't know and that you don't understand that God is working for you. He's working to save you, to save your people. And that Jacob didn't know that his request for mercy, he just prayed that God would have mercy. He didn't know that God was already being merciful to him. Amen? Do you know that God is being merciful to us right now? I mean, right this minute, His mercy is all over you. Do you know what? Remember what David said? He said in the Psalms that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. When you're feeling down and rejected and don't know what to do, just look behind you and say, hello, mercy. Hello, goodness. You're right behind me. Isaiah says, if right behind you, he says, God is your rear guard. You don't have anything to fear tonight except God. Fear Him. That's all. You know, and that erases every other fear. Just fear the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Let Him be your light. Let Him be your counsel. Let Him be the one that holds you and supports you and strengthens you. Don't let the world strengthen you. The strength of the world will fail. And I look at Jacob and he says, oh, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. You know, it's a terrible thing to lose a loved one. Amen. Come on. It's to lose your child or to lose your spouse is a horrible thing. But you know something? As horrible as it is to lose someone that you love, if they know the Lord, you will see them again. That's a great hope. I've got some people I'd like to see. You know, I hope, I don't think they are. I don't really know. I don't want to, but I'd love to know that my father was in heaven. I know my grandmother. I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to meet, you know, my great-great-grandfather who was a doctor who was a missionary, Christian missionary to the Indians in Oklahoma, who gave his whole life for that. My grandfather who built one of the first churches in Fort Worth, in Poly. I was with him when he died, just as a little boy, there in his bedroom. I was only 6 years old. You know, I'm going to see them again. Jacob said, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. But listen, we can be bereaved, but I thank God we know where they are. And I don't know about you, but that gives me great comfort because this life is so short and that life is forever. And I look and I say, okay, Jacob. And so in verse 15, it says, and so the men took that present and Benjamin, there you go, and they took double the money in their hand, arose, went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, don't you know right then his heart exploded? You know what I mean? After all these years. And he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my home, slaughter an animal, make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. And then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And now the men, meaning all the brothers, they were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, it's because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us, seize us, to take us as slaves with our donkeys. I don't know why that was included. With our donkeys. I mean, every time I read that, I go, Lord, what did you mean by that? You know? Listen, I don't know about you, but you have to ask yourself a question. Why are they so upset? Why? I mean, here they are. They've been invited to dinner with the man who is the second in command of all the world, all of Egypt. They're in his house. I mean, they should have been, is this cool or what? Isn't that right? But no, you know why? I'll tell you why. Because of guilt. Isn't guilt the great thief? You know, guilt, someone one time said, guilt is the gift that keeps on giving. It just keeps on giving over and over and over. And guilt will rob you. Aren't you so glad that Jesus took our guilt? He took our guilt. We don't have to be guilty anymore. He took our guilt. All the junk that we did in the past, He's washed it all away. He doesn't even remember it anymore. He's hid it in the sea of eternal forgetfulness and forgiveness. Thank God. And so I look at this and I say, oh, man, you know, guilt always, when you're guilty, it always produces fear all the time, and fear hath torment. And so when they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. But it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, and our money in full weight. So we have brought it back to our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. But he, meaning Joseph's steward, said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. He said, I had your money. And then he brought Simeon out to them. Oh, man, do you think Simeon was glad to see them? Huh? I mean, he was probably going, oh, God, I'm really a believer now. I've been fasting and praying for all this time, you know, and so forth. So without a doubt, this steward, did you notice what he's doing? He's blessing. He said, God knows. He said, your God and the God of your father has given you all this treasure. So obviously Joseph had led his servant, this steward, into the knowledge of the true and living God. Amen. And so he's serving him. And so he says, do not be afraid. And may I say to you tonight, peace with you. Do not be afraid. He said, may I say to you, isn't that something that we need? Did you know that Jesus and the angels of God in the New Testament, Jesus said more than anyone else, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Remember when Jairus, his daughter, was sick and he said, would you come and heal her? And then the woman with the issue of blood had stopped the Lord and so forth. And then all of a sudden, Jairus' servant came and said, don't trouble the master anymore. He said, your daughter is dead. There's nothing we can do. Jesus immediately turned to Jairus and said, he says, listen, he said, do not be afraid, only believe. Amen. And that is a word to you tonight. That's a word for someone here tonight. Don't be afraid, only believe. Oh, that's all we need to do is just believe God. Amen. Believe the impossible. And so it says, and so the man brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water. They washed their feet. He gave their donkeys feet. So they were worried about their donkeys. They're all taken care of now. And they made the present ready. In other words, the honey and the spices and the almonds and all of that for Joseph's coming at noon. For they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down to him to the earth. There's the fulfillment again of Joseph's dream, remember. And then he asked them about their well-being and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? Now listen, I don't know how Joseph kept it together. Because this is a dramatic moment. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the first time since Joseph was 17 years old that he saw Benjamin and saw all of his brothers together. Are you following me? All of them together. They're all there, and they're all in his house. And he asked about his dad, and I'll tell you why. Because Joseph loved his father. He says, is he still alive? That man that you spoke of, is he still alive? And they answered and said, your servant, our father, oh, he's in good health, and he is still alive. And they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves. And then he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother, Benjamin, his mother's son. In other words, his only full brother. And he said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, oh, God, be gracious to you, my son. And now his heart yearned for his brother. So look what Joseph did. So he made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. I tell you, is there a more heartbreaking passage? You know, this really happened. This really happened. Sometimes I think Christians read the Old Testament and it's like a story, but it's just a story. No, this is a real person, amen? This is the real Word of God. This is greater truth than we'll ever have in any library. This is God's Word. So Joseph's heart is breaking. He wept, just like our Lord, he wept. And then he washed his face, and he came out, and he restrained himself, and he said, let's eat. In other words, serve the bread. So they set him a place by himself and by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. You know, I believe with all my heart that the Lord just happened to seat them that way. You follow me? Joseph is at a table by himself facing them. The Egyptians, his servants, are over there eating. And here are the brothers facing him at another table. And all of a sudden, Reuben sits down and it goes from the oldest all the way down. And here's Benjamin. Do you know what the chances of that happening? That's 1 in 40 million. Now, and people are smart enough to go gamble at the mega thing or whatever that's called. I mean, this is talking about 11 brothers here. 1 in 40 million chance they would sit down in that perfect order. Can you believe that? Or that's what some book I read said that. I don't know if it's true or not. He may have gotten that out of Reader's Digest or something. I don't know. You can't trust every commentary. But I can trust God's word. And they sat down and they were absolutely amazed at this seating arrangement. And so he took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was 5 times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and they were merry with him. Now listen, I don't know that if Joseph was trying to just hint a little bit to make them see that, you know, that maybe he was their brother or something. But what I really think was happening here, whenever Benjamin was given all that 5 times more food, I don't think it was because he was going, you know, man, I haven't seen this much food in all my life because of the famine or whatever. I don't think that was it. I believe that it was a test. And I believe that Joseph was testing his brothers about Benjamin. Because remember, he asked for Benjamin to be brought to him. He said, I want to see your younger brother. You prove to me that if you're not your spies, all of you are spies. You bring your younger brother and I'll believe you. And he gives him all that food because he wants to see if any of the other brothers are still the way they used to be, full of envy and murder and hate and jealousy. And we'll notice here that that didn't happen. It says that they just ate, they drank, and they had a lot of fun. So Joseph is testing them, and he's going to do something else. He's going to test his brothers out of concern now for Benjamin. And remember, they sold Joseph into slavery. And now he's going to test them to see if they will sell Benjamin into slavery as well. Let's look at this test now. And it says, and he, meaning Joseph, he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack, and also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest. Now that'd be Benjamin. And his grain money. So the steward, he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. And as soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. They're not going to get rid of those donkeys, are they? I mean, there's something going on there, you know. Now listen, can you imagine their rejoicing? We are out of here. You know, I mean, do you understand? Have you ever been let out of jail? I'm not saying anyone has. But if you've ever had, when they open those bars and you got it, you say, I am out of here, right? And so Simeon is rejoicing. He says, I never want to see Egypt again. I never want to see this place again. I've been in jail all this time. Benjamin is happy. He's going home to see his dad. I mean, all of these things are happening, and they're leaving. We're going to make it home safely. Benjamin, you're going to see your dad again. And then it says, when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, get up, follow the men. And when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and with which he indeed practices divination? Now, I don't believe for a minute that Joseph practiced divination. His gift was from God, amen? But it was a common practice of the Egyptians to do this, and I think he was just using that to tease them a little bit. In other words, he was using it for the test. He said, which indeed practices divination, and you've done evil in doing, and so doing. And he overtook them, spoke to them the same words. And they said to him, why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants would do such a thing. Now look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money that we found in the mouth of our sacks. That was from their last visit, remember? He says, how then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. Now listen, for the very first time, these brothers are finally walking in unity and walking in agreement with one another. And he said, now also let it be according to your words, he with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Then each man, did you notice this? Each man speedily, they were so confident, each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. They didn't have a doubt in their minds. They weren't worried about anything. And so he searched, and he began with the oldest. He began with Reuben, and he left off with the youngest, all the way down to Benjamin. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Of course, you know, the steward knew where it was because he placed it there, right? Now, the brothers knew that Benjamin wasn't a thief. They knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I want to say something to you. I can just see it. I can see the look in their eyes whenever that cup was found. I'm telling you what, those words hit the heart of each one of those brothers. And the words were, whoever has this cup, he will be my slave. Are you following me? Oh, dear Lord. And look what they did. Then they tore their clothes. And not just one man, not just one brother, each man, each brother loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So for the first time, you talking about grieving. They're all grieving. Their hearts are just broken in two because the unbearable and the unthinkable has just happened to them. And I want you to note something, that they all, it says, each man loaded his donkey and returned. So they all went back. And what are they doing? They're saying this, we're not going home without Benjamin. Do you see the change in the brothers and how God now has cleaned them up and they're maturing and they've repented? They don't want to live like that anymore. And they've torn their clothes and they've repented. And so Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house and he was still there and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Now, the cup was just a decoy, okay? He doesn't practice divination. He's a prophet of God, if you will. And he was just basically saying, don't you know you can't put anything over on me? And then Judah said, what shall we, all of them, notice that we, what shall we say to my Lord? And what shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? He's speaking for the whole family. He says, God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. In other words, you know what Judah was saying? No, Joseph, he says, listen, this wasn't divination. This wasn't some seducing spirit. I tell you, the reason you found all this out is because God has found out our sin. We've sinned. We've done horrible things. He's found out the iniquity of all of us. Now, we deserve to be slaves. All of us is what he's saying. But look what Joseph said. He said, oh, but far be it from me that I should do so. He said, the man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as far as you boys, in other words, you just go up in peace and go to your father. So you see, here's the test. Here's one of the final tests right here. In other words, Joseph knows that they sold him into slavery. Now they have a chance. They have an opportunity right now. In other words, will you sell out your other brother too? Will you lie and go home to your father and say, you know, such and such has happened to Benjamin? Will you go and grieve the old man, in other words? So Judah, I want you to listen to him now because this is an impassioned, beautiful intercessory. It's not a prayer, but it's intercession for Benjamin. And I fall in love again with Judah here. I never have really been in love with him, like, you know, because he's been a troublemaker. But now I look at him and I go, whoa, his heart is broken, man, and he's really becoming a true man of God. Now listen to Judah. He's a spokesman. And then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing. And do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. And my Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to you, my Lord, we said, hey, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young, and his brother is dead. And he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. And then you said to your servants, you said to us, well, okay, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said to my Lord, well, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. But you said to his servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. And so it was when we went up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord, and my father said, go back and buy a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. And then your servant said, my father said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. Now listen carefully. You know my wife bore me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. I don't know how Joseph held it together right here. First of all, Judah is pleading for Benjamin, interceding for Benjamin. But Joseph now learns something that he did not know. He learns for the first time how his brothers deceived their father. And that is when he says, surely he is torn to pieces and I've not seen him. So he knows now for the first time after all those years what they told his father Jacob when they brought back the coat of many colors and it was covered, remember, with the goat's blood and so forth. So look what he does. He continues and he says, now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen. And when he sees that the lad is not with us, he'll die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. So what Judah is really saying is, I can't go home. I can't go home without Benjamin. And I'll tell you why. I can't do what he's saying to himself. Joseph knows it, but he doesn't know he's speaking to Joseph. He says, I can't do to my dad what I did again the first time. I've watched him all these 20-some-odd years grieve over Joseph and weep over Joseph. His heart is still breaking over Joseph. He said, I can't do it again. I can't do this at all. I'll not carry this kind of guilt ever again in my life. And he says, for your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now look what he says. Now therefore, please let your servant, let me remain instead of the lad. Remain as what? As a slave to my Lord. Let me take his place. And let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? Lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. It is right here that Joseph's brothers pass the test. See, he knows now that they mean no harm. He knows now that they would never mistreat Benjamin. Just a little bit of chapter 45. Watch this now. And then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, and he said, oh, make everyone go out from me. And so no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And then Joseph said to his brothers, he's saying it now in the Hebrew tongue, not in Egyptian, not through an interpreter. He says, I am Joseph. Man, listen. Do you know the lightning bolt that just went through their hearts? And their mouth fell wide open. Benjamin, he's looking at his brother and didn't even realize it. And he says, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? He loved his dad. He said, but his brothers, they could not answer him. Hello. He says, why? They were dismayed. Literally, they were terrified in his presence. Now, listen, we're going to stop right there, but I'm not through yet. And we're going to pick up next week in chapter 45, a great chapter. But listen very carefully. Judah says, I will take his place. That's unbelievable, isn't it? He says, I'll be your slave. I will take his punishment. If you're going to kill Benjamin, don't kill him. Just kill me. I'll take his shame, his guilt. I'll bear it forever. Do you remember that this is the same Judah who said this? Let me read from Genesis 37, when they had put Joseph in the pit, and they all gathered around him. And remember what they did is they threw Joseph in the pit. He's out there begging to get out. The psalmist had said that, by the way, that he was begging to get out, pleading. They sat down and started eating. All the brothers started eating lunch. It says in Genesis 37:25, and they sat down to eat a meal, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh. Remember I told you what they were carrying? On their way down to Egypt. So Judah, here he is. Judah, he says to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And it says, and his brothers listened. Judah means praise. He was the fourth son of Jacob and Leah. Leah, of course, was Rachel's sister. 30 years have passed since Genesis 37. 30 long years. And you know what he's doing now? He's begging his unrecognizable brother. He doesn't know it's Joseph. He's begging his brother. Says, you keep me instead of Benjamin. May I say to you tonight that that is a tremendous example? Amen? And I started thinking about that. And let me read a scripture to you from the New Testament in 1 John 3:16. It says this, by this we know love. In other words, we could put it this way. We know what love is because we've really learned what it is. How is that? It says because he laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. Amen? Now listen to what it says in 1 John 3:16. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Think about that for a minute. Lay down our, Jesus said, I laid down my lives for you. Judah said to Joseph, not knowing it was Joseph, said, listen, take me. Take my life, but don't take Benjamin's life. Spare him. Just take me. Do with me whatever you want. Jesus laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for each other, the brethren. I'd have never known that kind of love unless we had been born again. Amen? You know, we look at this and you know, had Jesus not died for us, you know, the Bible says that when we were, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. And I think about that. You know, would you die for one with someone? Think about that for a moment. You know, we probably will never, ever experience that, and I pray that we don't. But I do know this. We've all experienced John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We've all experienced that. But to lay down our lives, and you know what it says where it says, and we also ought to lay down. That word ought means this, that if you are a believer, now I know that we have different levels of maturity in the body of Christ, all of us. I'm still growing up, you're still growing up, some of us are stalled and some or whatever, you know, but we're all going to make it, okay, one way or another. But the word ought means that we have an obligation to one another. I think that maybe the body of Christ is a little bit like Joseph's brothers. We're all connected. We're all in the same family, different mothers, you know what I'm saying, so forth. But we're still family. And yet, we fight, we argue. Don't get restless on me, please. We fight and we argue and hurt one another, misunderstandings and so forth. The Bible says that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, meaning that we have that tremendous obligation one to another. You know, if we are not called to die for one another, at least we can live one for another. Amen? What did Jesus tell us to do? He says, love one another as I have loved you. That's it. That's what he tells us to do, and that's what we ought to do. The Bible tells us in Romans 15:7, it says for us to receive one another, and it tells us how, as Christ has also received us. How has Jesus received us? Were we perfect when Jesus received us? Did we have it all together? Do we have it all together right now? Listen, each of us, we all have warts and all those kinds of things, and we're just all being changed from glory to glory. Amen? You think that we might have just a little patience with one another? Huh? Or do you think we just ought to just start tarring and feathering one another? Or maybe we should have a basket of stones up here and we can start stoning one another. I don't know. That may be the Holy Spirit speaking right now. You know, we live in the worst of times, loved one. When I say that, it's because we're living in a time today when it seems like every day those who call upon the name of the Lord and say that they're Christians, they don't work out their problems with one another. They don't, you know what I'm trying to say? They don't work out their problems. They don't say, okay, I got an issue but I'm just going to call you a bad name and I'm out of here. And, you know, I start thinking, we're the most overeducated society in the world, aren't we? I mean, think about how educated we are. I love education. Nothing wrong with that. If you have your BA, it's a Bachelor of Arts. Is that right? Isn't that what that means? Oh, I'm beginning to believe it means Bachelor of Alibis. Not my fault. I didn't do that. I don't deserve that. You know what I mean? No, that's not going to be me. Never my fault. I can't forgive, can't do this. Listen, we're all growing as one. Amen? We better love one another while we can. We better forgive one another while we can. We better take care of one another while we can. We better get over our differences while we can, because there is coming a day. There is coming a dark time. I do not know the day, and I do not know the hour. And I'll tell you that you will say to yourself, I need my brother and my sister, and I don't have a problem. You got a problem with me? I forgive you. I love you. Now help me. You hear me? We need to wake up. We need to wake up and truly love and forgive and walk in the strength and the power and the anointing of the Holy God that we have. Every brother stood in the gap for Benjamin. Every brother said, hey, I'm standing here. I'm going to die. I want to die for him. I'm standing in the gap. Loved one, listen to me. Why don't we do the same? Amen? Why don't we be just like them and say, here we are. We're all guilty, and we are all guilty. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not anything perfect about me, anything perfect about you. Don't want to ruin your self-esteem. The only thing that is perfect is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's love one another, amen. Let's be good one to another. Let's help one another. There's already enough pain in the world. Let's don't hurt one another. And if we do, then let's forgive it. Amen? Father, we thank you tonight that we, this church called Calvary Chapel, Lord, we just want to stand in the gap for our brothers and our sisters, just like they stood in the gap for Benjamin. All of us, each one, Lord, we stand right now in agreement saying, Lord, we're going to honor one another. We're going to prefer one another. We're going to be of the same mind toward one another. Lord God, we are family. And family has differences at times. And families argue at times. And families say things they wish they'd never said at times. But we're still a family. And we're going to support one another. And I thank you, Lord, by your grace and your mercy, we will. And we love you tonight, Father. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for these words. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Would you